And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them on their website or on all social media platforms. You can find them on social media at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L, Athletic. Or you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, a coach I'm a big fan of, who's been around the game for a very long time, doing special things at a private school up in the Fort Worth area. And he is the longtime coach of the Fort Worth Nolan Catholic Lady Viking soccer program, I should say. Coach Jay Fitzgerald. Coach, how are you?
Yeah, Hector, how you doing, man? I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me for sure.
Absolutely. I didn't want to date you there when I said long time. That wasn't a bad thing. That's a compliment, right? So glad to have you here, Coach. And we're gonna dive right in. You ready to go?
I'm ready, man.
All right. So first thing I kind of wanted to ask, Coach, is before you know, kind of start on a serious note. Something that I think that has to be asked, has to be acknowledged, is obviously we know the winter weather storm that hit almost the entire state. Some areas of the state made out a little bit better than others. Talk a little bit about your experience, your program's experience, your school's experience through that winter storm and its effects, particularly on the playoffs, just because I know you're not an excuse guy, but it's just more of a, I mean, just acknowledging the reality of, I mean, what happened.
Right. Well, again, we haven't really seen anything like this. I think in 2011, there was something similar. I think it was 2011 or 2009, whenever the Super Bowl was here. And everyone came into town and they were like, man, this is supposed to be Dallas, Texas. But it's February. It's, you know, you just never know. So, you know, for me, I'm our program's about, you know, just moving forward, right? So when you have to be hit with a pause, or you have to be hit with, oops, we can't be out on the field, or we have to be in a gym, or we have to be, you know, things like that. It's almost like we have to use the word good. I'm glad, right? Because maybe it's what, you know, maybe it's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, but again, we have to be like our program, really, it's like 365 days a year. We have to be going, and we have to be going. And when we're hit with a pause, it doesn't really help us. Right. So when we got the first message from TAP saying, we have to have a pause, and that's actually what they said, and we're going to move the playoffs a little bit longer, or moving back a little bit. And then we're like, okay, then we tried to get in our last district game. Couldn't do that. That was actually the first day when it all came in, on that Tuesday prior to the week where it really got bad. We couldn't play because of the 32 degrees and weather, you know, it's too cold. So that was like, we were supposed to play on the 9th. Well, we actually didn't end up playing a game till the 22nd, which was our first playoff game. So really, that's not normal going into the playoffs. So I guess the biggest thing is that all of our players are okay. You know, our school, everything was fine. I'd stay in a hotel for a little bit. I got to tell you, it wasn't that bad. We were doing Zoom calls from the Omni Hotel downtown, Fort Worth. And, you know, we did what we had to do. The girls were out doing what they needed to do as far as playing in the snow and snow days, or, you know, just getting whatever type of training. Cause we were talking about that, right? We were talking about the training that they need to do, keep our fitness up, cause we don't know when we're going to get back. So we did have an opportunity to be together every day, through a Zoom, and we're used to that, right? With COVID and everything. So it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Right. But it really did, cause we had some good momentum. It really did put us in an environment where, you know, we just couldn't train, we couldn't be together physically. And glad everyone was okay. And we got back into it on the next week, but actually on Friday, we actually were able to practice. And then on Saturday, we were able to practice, not at our school. We had to go someplace else. So we were able to get back in there and do some things, but I think it kind of, it did kind of, I don't even know what the word is for it, but we had some good momentum and then boom, snow, ice, cold, all that. So that didn't help, but everyone was safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'm glad to hear that everyone is safe first and foremost. So, and, you know, without pandering, it's the reality of what makes you a great coach is, you know, remembering the priorities, right?
Right.
But yeah. I mean, I think that's, it has to be acknowledged that, and I think that's part of the reason why I led with that question was, cause I know you all had some momentum going in and obviously not just you all, but other programs as well. And it's inevitable to, you have to acknowledge it on some level. It's not an excuse. It's just the reality of the situation. But I am glad to hear that in the end, people are okay. Everyone's safe. So, you mentioned COVID, coach, and obviously that's the other gigantic elephant in the room that we can't ignore. But kind of as we look at it from a different angle, you look at post COVID, right? Whenever that may be, whether that may be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, in what the new normal may be, in your assessment, what do you think will be the biggest positive to affect the high school game here, maybe let's just say locally or regionally here in Texas? What do you think is the biggest positive to affect the high school game coming and your program coming out of COVID?
Right. So coming, COVID, when we finally got together, June 8th was the first time our team got together after everything kind of like we could figure out what we were going to do safely. And we had to, and I think that we had to make it as normal as possible because we couldn't make an excuse because we didn't know. There's uncertainty, right?
Right.
And there's going to be moving forward. There's going to be a ton of uncertainty. And even when you go into a game, I look at it like preparing for a game. You have your game plan. The other team has theirs. You don't know how that's going to end up. You don't know how that game's going to go. You don't know if the wind's going to change at halftime. You don't know if the referee's going to call a penalty or, not call a penalty or whatever. So we have to deal with that uncertainty a little bit better. We have to be able to deal with adversity. And I think that that's what our team, and we've been talking about this all throughout March and April and May. We didn't, some of the girls would go out and knock the ball around with each other. And there was some club stuff going on. Beast Mode Soccer, that soccer app that they use, that's a lot of people are using now out of California. They weren't missing a beat. So when they came back in June, we were ready to go. Based on, we didn't know, right? So we'd come in. So I think dealing with adversity, dealing with uncertainty, trying to make it as normal as possible, being safe. We're always a program that, we don't want to get the flu. We don't want to get a cold. We don't want to get mono. We don't want to get any of that stuff. I'm knocking on wood. We didn't have one flu case last year. And this year we only had one COVID case. And that COVID case was from a kid that was virtual. And didn't get it from us, didn't get it from the school, and we've had zero cases. So, I think it's just, again, these teams, these club teams and these high school teams and our team, we just have to be more aware of what's going on because it is uncertain. We have to be more aware of, and again, I'm just bringing it back to a game and preparing for a game.
Right.
If we were practicing on Monday, getting ready for another playoff game, again, we have to be aware of the situation and aware of who you're around and aware of just, in a normal 5v2 game, you're aware of the pressure, you're aware of this, you're aware of that. I just think that it's just a new sense of awareness to what's going on around our communities, what's going on around the world in our own team. Cause we were like a bubble all year. We even went, we usually go to Florida or California during Christmas. We weren't going to even ask that question because we knew that they would tell us no. So we went to San Antonio, for 5 days and played three games. And the school allowed us to go. It was our bubble. We did everything we needed to do. We were eating in private rooms. They were staying. Some girls were staying in rooms by themselves. Some were staying with family members. Some were staying with waivers signed with just two to a room. It got expensive. Right. But we just have to, we have to adjust. And with this whole thing, we have to adjust with what comes out in the news tomorrow morning. We have to adjust what comes out the next day. We have to adjust. Coaches have to adjust. That's what we do. So I think we are more suited for, you know, as coaches, coaching, you know, youth athletes, we're more suited to deal with this COVID thing or flu or anything than anyone else. And I'm really, and I have to give credit to our players too, because they bought in to the sacrifice of, yeah, we got a homecoming dance and it's like a silent disco, but no homecoming party. I'm sorry. Just go to the dance and go home, right? And just have a party with your team, because our team's in that bubble. So we're suited for this. We coaches, you, myself, coaches around the area, we can handle this. And I think the majority of the coaches have. Look at the football season. Look at the volleyball season. Everyone got to play for state championships. Nothing was canceled. Were there games that were canceled? Absolutely. But I think a lot of people here in Texas specifically, because some states aren't even playing, we're persistent and we're going to make it work for our kids. Absolutely. So they have the best experience they can have.
Absolutely. Well said. You know, you hit on a key word there that's very important and that I think cannot be hit on enough in terms of our student athletes, and that's sacrifice. You know, they already make a lot of sacrifices, but this year like no other. And so to that, I think it's kudos to coaches across the state, coaches across the country. But of course, the reason why we all do it is our student athletes. So kudos to them, especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So now transitioning here a little bit, Coach, not to pour some salt in the wound, don't want to bring up some bad memories, but talk about, so recently on Friday night, unfortunately, you all lost and were eliminated in the TAPS D1 regional final versus Plano John Paul II. Yep. Final score was two to one. Is that correct? That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can, Coach, try to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit for our listeners. When you look back on it, when you look back on Friday night's match and that assessment, you know, what was your take on that when you look back on it?
Yeah. So I look at, you know, did I feel like we were as prepared as we could be based on the circumstances? Absolutely. Did we put ourselves in the best position to win that game? Yeah, absolutely. But so did they. They were prepared as well. We're playing a good team, right? That has had some success during the year. Do I think that we created enough opportunities to win the game? Yes, we did. We even created in the last 15 seconds of the game when their goalkeeper had to come out of the game, you know, or the fifth with 5 minutes to go, you know, we have a breakaway that the ball just got away from us. So, you know, I look at a game like that, you gotta, you know, like what happened, right? It's like, and I go back to like, our team has success if we can continue to move forward. And we had a game, the game, you know, on the Monday of that week that we played TCA, and it was a 2-1 win for us. And it wasn't our best match. You know, we'd beat them 6-0 the time before, but it's the playoffs. Everything's different. And who knows who was missing at that time and everything. So coming into this game, we're thinking, yeah, that we can only move. I mean, we haven't played poorly or be below standards here in a couple, you know, with two consecutive games. So this is going to be really good for us. But we did meet up against a team that, you know, was just as well prepared as we were. And they just got one more goal than we did. Right. If we had another 5 minutes, maybe we would have scored another one and tied it up and gone to overtime. Because the last time we played at Liberty Christian against John Paul, which was 4 years ago, it came up on our LBS Snapchat story 4 years ago. It came up on, what is today, 28th. We played them and beat them in overtime. So that kind of poured some more salt in the wound. Dang it, you know. But, you know, I would just say that I don't know if I would do anything different in that game because I think we created enough. Because if you're playing a game and you haven't created any opportunities, then you're like, man, we just got beat, right?
Right.
But I do feel bad, you know, for the kids because I think they did what they needed to do to win the game. And John Paul just converted on one more than we did. And, you know, yes, I'll go back and look at the tape and this and that, but does it really matter? Do we have to move on to the off season and moving on to making sure that, you know, things like that, we come ahead on opportunities like that? Cause we'd beaten them the year before in the regional final, 1-0. So I don't know. So I guess I could answer, if I look at the film again, if I look at the tape again, if I look at whatever, maybe I have a little bit different answer, but right now I just kind of like, I'm going to meet with the girls tomorrow. It's like, what were we missing? What was the missing component to this game? Because you guys left it all out there, or did you not? I don't know. So we're going to have that conversation. But our preparation and our, you know, I guess the biggest thing coming out of that game is when we get a you know, we talk about daily process all the time. When that process is interrupted, it's like, how are we getting better each day, right? When you're not able to be together. Do we stay switched on? Do we stay switched off in that game? You know, were we switched on to where, you know, if I would have made an earlier run, maybe I would have got on the other end of that ball, or maybe if I would have made a quicker decision, or maybe if I would use my right foot versus my left foot, you know, things like this. I don't know. We could talk about that all day, every day. But they had a great year. Proud of the team. You know, hopefully they can connect the dots and as far as what got us to that point and why we were successful, because we had a really good year. But then next, you know, what do we do? Can we really put our thumb on, you know, what we need to do a little bit differently or what we don't need to do next year to where we can get to that state championship game like we did the year before?
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, you and I have been doing this for a long time to know that this game can be incredibly cruel from the standpoint of you do everything right or as perfect as can be, and you still come up short. You can dominate a game, you know, you can dominate a game for 78 out of the 80 minutes and still lose. And then there are other games, right? There are other matches where you have no business winning, let alone being in it, and somehow you pull it out, right? So,
right.
Yeah, for sure. That's playoff soccer too, because especially once you get beyond generally the playoffs, obviously, but even once you push into the area round and beyond, there are no bad teams.
Right.
There are no bad teams. So, yeah, that's well said. So, bit of unfortunate news there, Coach. But one thing that I did want to transition to is some both personal news for you, a great story, and as well for your program. You just recently captured your 400th career win, and that's pretty incredible. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But the other thing, too, what's really remarkable is you've had all 400-plus there at Nolan Catholic. So that's really awesome. That's really incredible. Talk a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so I've been at Nolan Catholic since 1999. So that's been a long time coming. But I've just had, like, the greatest experience at Nolan. And the last 5 years, I've actually transitioned into a full-time role. You kind of had mentioned that as well, that you were kind of at St. Mary's and you were saying, oh, I just got that full-time. I was part-time. But I was part-time for a long time. And then I started doing some stuff with the school that I was doing with our LDS program as far as marketing and branding and, you know, just showcasing the good of the program. And I cannot say enough about Nolan Catholic and the, you know, the community and the parents and the administration and the teachers. And, you know, I'd coached at TCU for a little bit on the men's and women's side and transitioning into, and I'd only been at private schools my whole life too, when I was growing up. And it's as close to college as it can be, because college preparatory school, They give you the freedom to run your program the way you need to run it. They give you the resources, budgets. If there's some money you need here and there, parents are willing to, or booster clubs are willing to, yeah, we'll get you some jackets so you can not freeze out there when you're sitting in the cold weather and, you know, things like that. But the biggest thing, this most special thing about being there for 400 plus wins and 600 something games is, you know, just the, you know, that I have a plan and it is about the experience of the kids, right? I want the experience for 4 years for these kids to be the best 4 years, right? It's hard to top college, but I want the 4 years to be stuff they'll never forget. Experiences, you know, from just school, student athlete, teacher, tutoring, locker room, bus trips, traveling to Florida, California, bringing those teams into us. The school allows us to do that. They allow me to take, when I have a big picture for the program, which is I want the kids to be better human beings by the time they're done with the program. That has nothing to do with soccer, but soccer helps the decisions and the choices and the teamwork and, you know, the commitment for 365 days, because this is one of the most dynamic programs in the country. And I'm not just saying it because I'm the coach and I've been there forever. I'm saying it because of what we've done. You know, we played teams from California and Florida. We hosted a tournament last year, our tournament in Florida, so we could play Lords, who won state title and backed by David Beckham. So we could play St. Thomas Aquinas, so we could play American Heritage, so we could get out there and have that respect. You know, and we bring those teams here too. So it's really important to me to have some consistency, and being a part of Nolan Catholic for so long has allowed us to have that dynamic, consistent traditions, family, culture that I've always wanted in a program. And Nolan Catholic has given us that and continues to give us that.
Wow, that's tremendous. That's a lot of great stuff. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a marquee. You definitely are at the helm of a marquee program in this state, public or private, you know, whether it be TAPS, SPC, UIL, you're absolutely right. And one thing that kind of just dawned on me when you were talking about branding and LVS is, so for some of our listeners that may know, you know, I'm the head varsity women's soccer coach at Isleta High School here in El Paso. And so one of the things that that I implemented in terms of branding was we're LIS, Lady Indian Soccer. So,
oh, there you go.
So we're kind of, I just put two and two together right now. I didn't even realize it. So I guess we kind of have, so I guess you could say we're kind of your sister, your fellow sister program across the
state. I love it.
The UIL side.
Well, you know, and I look at it too, when you mentioned that, I was like, we talk about us being LDSers. So when you look at a kid in walking around campus, like, you know who that kid, yeah, she's an LVSer because she's respectful, because she's confident, because she's, you know, smiling, because she's, you know, just an overall good person, or, you know, there for everyone else. So to me, it is, right? It is, you know, when they're like, it's not women's soccer, it's LVS, you know, what's LVS doing this weekend? And even the, you know, the Friday after, the Saturday after we lost on Friday, the kids were out doing a community service project for Fort Worth Youth Soccer for 3 and 4 year old kids. And they were all there making these kids better and making an experience for them. So that's an LDSer. And we talk about culture all the time.
Absolutely.
And our definition for culture is, this is the way we do things. And there's no other, if you don't do these things, then this is not a good fit for you. So you have to have that branding and marketing and, you know, because it's an experience,
it's
right? We want it to be a seamless transition.
Yeah.
Or I want it to be, and I'm sure you do too, when they go on into the real world, when they go to college,
right?
We want to instill life lessons, key learning experiences to these kids, to where they can look back at a, you know, an accountability handbook that we have them fill out you know, their first week in college, that it's seamless. It's not that they can move on to college and use all the experiences that coaches like yourself and myself and other coaches around the area have given these kids so they can, you know, continue to move forward in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talk about the game, not just there in the DFW and the Metroplex, but, or just the general region on that side of the state, but across the entire state. What's your assessment as you see it? Maybe obviously it's kind of a different world right now during COVID, but what has been generally your assessment building up to COVID, overall in terms of the state of the high school game in Texas? What's, when you look at it, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think number one, it's like, even in the club game, high school game, club game, you know, state league, ECNL, GAT, whatever you want to call it, is that our kids are getting competitive matches and competitive environment on a regular basis. Yeah, there is that team that's going to get kind of beat up a little bit, you know, 9, 10, whatever. You got those. But it's competitive across the board. These kids want to win. And, you know, the club game is so strong in the state of Texas that these high school coaches get to benefit from kids that are playing on a regular basis. And I think that, you know, when they tried to take high school away with the DA, I don't think that was a good move. I think it was, and obviously it is. And I tell my kids all the time, it's like club does come first. The reason why we are a pretty good team is because we have club players that play on a regular basis and are in conditioned environment to where they're actually getting better. Their soccer IQ is getting better, their touches, all that stuff. So it's an attribute to the club game as well, and the environment and the competitiveness there, why yourself and myself are able to get kids that play club. But I think what these high school coaches have done a really good job with is, like we just talked about, is put these kids in an environment to where, you know, they can, we can, you know, accelerate their skills a little bit better, or their soccer knowledge, by resources that we have that maybe the club doesn't, like video analysis. We have them 5 days a week, sometimes more. You know, our kids wear GPS devices just to kind of track their wellness. We are able to do the Soccer Pulse app, which is, you know, which our school pays for. That is a game changer. It allows you to have dialogue with your players so you can talk about their wellness and their nutrition and their, you name it. I mean, we don't want the kids to be overtrained. I think that's when you get into a problem, is right. Some of the high school coaches that don't have a partnership with club, and it's all about high school. It's all about high school. It's all about my team. It's all about me maxing out in what would it be, August and September, when they're in the middle of their club seasons. We have to be really careful about that. And I do think that we have enough people in the high school game, like yourself, myself, you know, I've been thrown out to Matt Colvin, Billy Griffiths, you know, Michelle Sapos here. I mean, I could go on and on, Chad Hobbs. I mean, I could name a lot of coaches here in just the Metroplex that understand that. And I think that player wellness is the number one, you know, the health of our players should be the number one priority. And I go back to your question earlier about COVID, like now that should be accelerated. Now we should be more aware of the health and wellness of our players, based on now they're getting back into it, right? With high school and club overlap, all that. And if we're not aware of it, we haven't done our job. If we're not having the dialogue with our players about how they're feeling, if we're not in the training room talking to the trainers about our team, I'm not just talking about the physical health. What about the mental health for some of these kids that aren't in high school and are virtual? You have to have the dialogue with the kids. And I think we have more and more coaches in the Texas UIL, TAPS, SPC, that are conscientious and aware of their player wellness. which is why you can have a competitive environment on a consistent basis through this time we're going through in COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if there's ever a location where a high school coach really has to have awareness regarding the club site, it's in your area, in your neck of the woods, because, you know, the DFW area, you're talking about arguably outside of, you know, SoCal, you know, South California, right, what arguably is the largest hotbed of soccer talent in the country. So yeah, absolutely.
Because of the overlap, because there's too much overlap, at least in California. You can't do it at the same time, right? Florida is a little bit different because we go to these places and play those teams, right? We bring those teams to us. We have these conversations. And when I talked about just playing those teams in general to give our kids that opportunity, it's not just about the competition. It's about what are you guys doing in California? What are you guys doing in Florida? You know, because that way it's like when the ECNL first started, when things weren't going so well on the USYSA side, and, oh, we need to do this because it's so much better. Well, we can put enough good high school teams together to show the club coaches that it's pretty competitive here and they're getting something out of this. You know, we do have some resources that are helpful, because you do hear the club coach say a lot, and I coach club as well, say, well, I have to reteach the game to them when they come back to me. I was like, yeah, in some cases, yeah. But I think that's where we have to really have a partnership with the club coaches and maybe have more of a conversation with those club coaches going into the high school season. You know, just, I know it's hard because we may have the, you know, 10, 12, 15 different club coaches that we have to discuss. But I think that the club coaches do need to understand that this, it's not all that bad of an environment if it's done right. And from what you're saying and what we've experienced here in North Texas or South Texas or East Texas or West Texas, that it can be done right. And if we can raise more awareness to player wellness and playing multiple games, you know, getting them in a pool. We have a brand new pool at Nolan. Like, who has a pool that's a private school? Not a lot, right? So we're getting them in the pool after games because the wellness is the most important thing. The stretch down, the cool down, the everything that they may not do enough of in club soccer. So if we have a better partnership, and maybe that's the next thing that has to be out there, is how can we partner a little bit better with high school and club coaches?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a set of circumstances that is very unique to our sport, to us as high school coaches. And we have to have that awareness. And, you know, I think collectively that community outreach is vital. And I think the high school coaches really have to take the lead on that. It's one of the things that I'm attempting to do out here in El Paso. And I'm not the only one, obviously. There's high school coaches all over the state doing that. And, it's one of the things that I want to start to highlight more going forward in future episodes. But yeah, I think that collectively, you know, whether it be high school coaches, administrators on the high school side, and your DOCs and your directors and your executive directors on the club side, amazing things can happen if we put the student athlete first.
Right. And when you're saying that, a lot of these college coaches are contacting the high school coaches more now to talk about how these kids are socially, you know, and how they deal with adversity in a regular social environment. Because there's just a lot of players out there. It's what are those, you know, you don't want to get a bonehead kid that is not coachable and can't deal with, you know, teammates and is just a poor teammate, or, you know, disrespect teachers and things like that. So I think that high school coaches are playing more of a role in these kids' pathway to college.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So coach, you've highlighted a good bit in terms of your journey there, the time that you've been there at Nolan Catholic, and you're obviously managing super high expectations incredibly well, being at a state power there. But as we go forward, obviously, unfortunately, as we highlighted earlier, your season just came to an end. But what can we expect? Not to throw that in there again. So
yeah, I love it.
Yeah. But What can we expect of as we come out of this on the other end post COVID next year? You start preparing soon. You talk about meeting with your team tomorrow. But what can we expect out of Nolan Catholic in the upcoming future?
Yeah. So standards and expectations don't change. You know, we got to continue to be conscientious of the resources that we offer. And I'm talking about spring season or, you know, spring, high school off season, spring, club season, summer off season programs, and into your preseason coming out, you know, in August. So, you know, what are those standards? What are those expectations? Because I think sometimes, you know, and if we're just using this year for us as Nolan Catholic and LVS, moving into LVS 22, which we call it, you know, how do we recognize those standards? And how do we recognize when our performance isn't where it needs to be? And was our preparation the reason for that? And I'm not talking about just preparation as far as just what we do at LVS. What are you eating? You know, what are you, you know, what are you, are you hydrating? Are you, you know, taking advantage of, you know, emailing college coach? I mean, you could go into a million different things. What's your club? Where are you playing for your, what club are you playing for next year? So I think what I have to do moving forward now is kind of figure out not necessarily what was missing this past year, because we didn't, you know, we didn't get where we needed to get to, but really redefining, you know, what are, because we have a really strong culture, traditions, you know, we are family, all of it through and through. And it's, like I said earlier, it's 365 days a year. For us, it's like even on Thanksgiving, you know, or spring break, they're like sending pictures in as far as like, hey, LVS around the world. Okay. We got some people skiing. We got some people in, might look a little bit different this year with COVID, but you know, what are you guys doing? Right. Bring a t-shirt and take a picture of it with the mountains in the background. So whatever. So I just want to bring in, you know, every year it's like, let's continue to be excited. Let's continue to make sure that this is a good fit for you guys, that you understand what the standards are, what the expectations are. You know, let's narrow down a couple things from each player, or from our back line, or from our defending in general, or from our attacking, that we can concentrate on, to where it's not so confusing, because there's a lot of stuff. Let's figure out what we missed out on, and let's move forward, and let's redefine, you know, what our standards are, what our expectations are. And, you know, we have a really good freshman class coming in next year. We had a really good freshman class this year. At one time we were starting three freshmen, which is huge. We lose five seniors. And I believe we have like 8 to 9 juniors that will be seniors next year. So the experience returning, and I include those freshmen because three of them started a lot of the games and played in 20 plus games. The experience alone that we have from the upperclassmen, and the experience that we've had from the freshmen and sophomores that played this year, man, and the freshmen we have coming in, I think, like, again, the sky's the limit for this group, but we can't let our guard down. We can't let our guard down regarding COVID. We can't let our guard down regarding just the health in general. And, you know, but we have to kind of figure out, okay, what is the goal here for all of us? And it may be different. I think we need to get back to the team, you know, the team aspect of it, having similar goals, but each kid's unique with their personalities. But the last thing is, like, are we a group or are we a team? And let's make sure that we understand what the big picture is for this team, which is state, you know, winning a state title. But what that daily process looks like, because they have a lot of other things that are going on, and how all of those pieces can help us. Because I guess the biggest thing I can say to kind of conclude what I'm trying to say is we're talented every year. But that talent is based on like the holistic player on and off the field for us. So we have to take all of those things that we're involved in into next year to help us accomplish, you know, that goal of winning a state title, or even what we'd like to say is getting to that state title game to where we can actually have a chance to play for it. So if it's just about the soccer, if it's just about our program, if it's just about our stud player that scored 40 goals for us, then we will fail. But it is a team thing, and we have to take into account social, physical, their home life, and, you know, all of that.
Always forward. I think I found your hashtag for next year, Coach. It's
always, I love it.
Always forward. We just got to find a way to sneak two twos in there, right, for 20. Yeah. All right.
Love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, I'm a big, yeah, I, that's one of the things that I really admire about your program. And one of the, you know, I have a motto, kind of a personal motto. We've all heard as coaches, the defense wins championships, but I subscribe to the, I firmly believe in, and you speak to it in the holistic approach, but I firmly believe that culture wins championships.
Ooh, and of course.
Yeah. I could not agree with you more. So great stuff, Coach. All right. So we understand we're going to have you stick around for our next segment, Coach. Hope you're ready. We get to pick on you a little bit with counter.
I'm ready. Always.
All right. For our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them on all social media platforms as well as their website. On social media, you can find them at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L. You can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. All right, we're back. We are with the head varsity women's soccer coach of the Fort Worth Nolan Catholic Lady Vikings soccer program, Coach Jay Fitzgerald. Coach, you ready for counterattack?
I am always ready.
All right, he's game. I like it. All right, right out of the gate, any pregame as a coach, any pregame or postgame rituals?
Oh, man. I think it's really that I am not matching. Because right. They get me all the time. Like, why do you wear 3 shades of gray? And why are you wearing that? And why are you wearing those shoes? And it's like, why does it matter? So I guess I have to not be matching in order for this to work. And as far as the post-game stuff, being the last person to leave the school.
Nice. All right. So what you're saying is there's nothing holistic about your game day coaching wardrobe, right?
Is that what No, there isn't.
All right. Okay. So different one for you. If not obviously soccer, but what's another sport in another life, another sport you would have coached?
You know, if I wouldn't have moved, if I would have stayed in New York, because that's where I was born, I would have loved to coach hockey because of the speed. It's similar to soccer, right? Spacing, movement, you know, this and that, but the speed of it and the those athletes are so humble and they're strong and they're physical and they're just want to play. And like, I'm wired like a hockey player. Sometimes that may get me in trouble, but yeah, it would probably be hockey because of where I was up in New York. And because of how it resembles, the sport of soccer.
All right. Okay. So now what about this? Not coaching whatsoever. What's another profession, if not a coach?
I guess it's more of a hobby, but now I'm doing it a little bit more, which is, you know, like broadcasting. I have done some broadcasting on the college side. I've even done some radio shows for TCU football. And now I am the broadcast teacher at Nolan. So we have a really nice studio there. So really, if I could have like a reality TV show, not about me, but just something in that way, like it's a broadcasting behind the camera type stuff. That's really what it would be.
That is awesome. That's good. Hey, that's good to know. I never knew that. That's awesome. I like that. Right. All right. So, and this is kind of a perfect segue into what you just covered. So during COVID, favorite Netflix series or other.
Oh, that's an easy one, man. Tiger King.
What's that?
Tiger King.
Yeah.
All right. Day. I mean, that's easy. I could watch that over and over and over again. And I'm waiting for the second part of it. Now that Tiger King or whatever his name is now out from prison. And during COVID, I actually tried to get up to Oklahoma to go to see. I just never had the time to do it because it was open the whole time. They don't really care about COVID. Right. You know, it's just Tigers, right? So, yeah, it's Tiger King for sure.
Wow. So there is a – so I haven't even seen the first one. So you're telling me that – so there's a second one in the books?
There's a second one. He's out, and they've got their new deal. I don't want to buy one of the – or they're building a new Tiger King farm over by – I guess it's like the Windstar Casino or one of those. I have no idea, but like as soon as that's open, I'm ready to go.
There you go. All right. I'll eventually make it to that. I still have not seen that. So, all right. So this one always usually gets people fired up in some way, shape or form. Favorite and least favorite soccer team.
Oh, okay. So I guess my favorite team would be Arsenal. Back in the Bergkamp days, the guy was pretty special.
Yeah.
So again, that stadium, and then they went all corporate, got the new stadium. It's just like, there was some, stuff on Twitter the other day about some Bergkamp highlights and where he took that ball down from like, and it, being able to see him when the World Cup was in Dallas, when they played Brazil here. I mean, it was just like, some really, really, I mean, so I've got to go with that. As far as, are you saying least favorite soccer team?
Yeah, least favorite. It's sometimes it's, you know, it can be foreign, domestic, whatever.
I would have to say, and this is not a knock to the coaches or the players that are there because I completely respect them, but it has to be Ursuline Women's Soccer. Because they beat us 15 times in the state final. I mean, how can I not like them? But all the respect to the team and the program and Hedges over there and Susan Ellis when she was there first and Allie Tennyson now. And, you know, I mean, they're quality, but it has to be. I mean, is that an acceptable answer?
Yeah. I mean, that's not, there is no like ill intent in your heart there. I get it. Absolutely. So. Yeah, it's, you're just, what you're saying is you're just not their number one fan is what you're
right.
Saying. Right. Okay. All right. Now, so non-soccer favorite and least favorite team.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys. Good so man. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys because
I knew it. You're a good man.
They're America's team, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
Then can I answer it back with my least favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys?
Also
is that allowed?
You're a good man. Also, you're a good man. Yes.
You don't. I have the fact, to say that.
The fact that you don't even have to explain that to me says everything. Because I trust me. I know.
Yeah, but I would say if I was to give you two different answers, my favorite team would be the Dallas Stars. My least favorite team would be the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Good deal. All right. So you might have alluded to this a little bit a few questions ago. A secret hidden talent that very few people know?
I'm a really, really good snowboarder. Oh. Like, really good. Like, I'm 6'6", and when I fall, I'm fearless, but I don't fall much. I'm just really, really good at it, you know? So I don't know how I prove that because I never film anything. You know, I tried to do the GoPro thing one time and it just made me fall more. But I think I'm just kind of fearless in that end of it. But right. I'd have to say snowboarding.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. How often do you get to do that?
Once a year. This year, I haven't gone yet, which is crazy that it's once a year and then I'm really good at it. Maybe I'm just more coordinated than I thought I was.
Yeah.
You know, being a goalkeeper. And I think I don't get hurt because I'm not flexible at all, which is the opposite of why you would get hurt is you're not flexible. But when I hit the ground, like my body just stays there. I don't know. So right. I'm knocking on wood right now, if that's okay with you, because hopefully I get to go this spring break here in a couple of weeks, but we'll see.
There you go. All right. That's a good one. Okay. So now going back to the binge watching a little bit, but we're diving in soccer specific here. Of the three, assuming you've seen all three, favorite soccer series out of these three is your All or Nothing with Tottenham, Sunderland Till I Die season 2, and Ted Lasso.
I was hoping you would say that because it is Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
It is Ted Lasso 100%. And again, I mean, maybe that's not the most soccer purist thing to watch because it's really kind of just more comedy than anything. But I'm telling you right now, I have used two or three things from that episode with my team just this year. So I was going to ask you if it wasn't one of the three, if I could use that, but 100% Ted Lasso.
Yeah. You know, I've preached it a few times now and I talk about it a lot, obviously not on the podcast, but you know, the amazing thing about that is for me, it was kind of the surprise hit of 2020. And when you factor in the genesis of that, that it started, what was it? 7-8 years ago, it started off of a commercial that was a joke, right? It turned into a series years later.
Right.
But the most interesting thing about that series is that, yeah, we knew it was going to be comedy and we knew kind of some of the context leading up to the series, but the series has heart, you know?
It does.
That's the thing that gets you. That's the thing that surprises you. And how this coach who should have no business, right, coaching soccer in the middle of England is connecting with, you know, with his players in a totally different, unconventional way and how it pays dividends on the field. So yeah,
again, like you said, connecting, because I used that word earlier as far as how we're going to move forward from losing this last game. It's like, how do we connect what we, you know, like how we prepare to the result we got and the things that we did throughout the year to having a successful season, because it was, and the dialogue that Ted Lasso had with his players and how he did get the most out of those players is, you know, I like watching shows like that. I like watching your All Americans. I like watching your Friday Night Lights because it's high school stuff. Right. So, but you really get to see just the relationships that are built, coach player type stuff, which is important to me. Probably one of the most important things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So here's a different one for you. Funniest moment you can recall in a practice or a game that you can share.
Okay. So are you talking, okay, as a coach, I'm sure all of us have done this with the like butt trap. Let's throw the ball up and let's trap it with our butt, you know? Right. So we were playing in the session. I play a lot with the players specifically in the off season, just to kind of have it a little bit more fun. Right. So the goalkeeper, our goalkeeper, Ali Steining, who's a stud for us, I had talked about dragging players out and then play me in a space, right? Because when I'm playing, I'm like, I don't want to have to. Well, I'm just going to walk over here. You're going to come with me, and then I'm going to run into this space, right? So I said, Ali, just punt the ball into this space, and I'll run onto it. So I literally took the players away, took the defenders away, came back in as soon as she punted it. It was going over my head. So I just kept running forward and I just stopped. It hit the ground, hit my butt. I turned around and buried it in the top corner. Nice. And I got the security footage from the facilities and showed it to the girls. And I think I actually shared it on Twitter one time. Absolute best moment. And I've had some great moments as a player and great moments as a coach. You know, the Ursuline game last year when we beat them and whatever, but I got to say that butt trap goal was the best experience, the best thing that ever has happened to me. And I can't even remember the next question you asked me, to be fair.
All right. No, that's good. That's good. The fact that you had to seek out security footage amazes me. So that in itself makes it funny. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Final question here for you, coach. Like we said, whatever our timeline is, 6 months from now, you know, 9 months from now, a year from now, post-COVID, when we're in our new normal, so to speak, Sunday dinner, you got everybody coming over, the team's coming over, family's coming over, family from out of town is coming over. You're the chef, you're cooking. What are you cooking?
Whoa, man. Okay, I'm not a good cook because I eat out all the time, but I do cook for my team, and that's the only people I cook for. And I would have to say it would be, it's not anything special. It's just like the only thing I can cook is spaghetti.
Oh, nice.
That's it. Because it's pasta. It's like, right. And I'm from New York. I've got an Irish Italian background. My mom, she's all about Sunday dinners. Like here in another hour, we're meeting over at my mom's house for family dinner. We'll have about a bunch of New Yorkers over there and some Texans over there and my brother and his family. And we just eat pasta, 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 pasta. And it's just like, you know, all of that. So it would have to be that because I love it. They love it. They can't get enough of it. And it's just easy. You just boil it. You just boil the water and pour some Prego in there. How hard can that be? And some bread,
Coach,
some salad.
You'd be amazed, Coach. I have screwed up spaghetti on more than one occasion. So I have screwed it up. So,
well, I do tell my players a lot that my mom kind of, she helps me prepare some of these meals that I do bring in for lunch sometimes for them. I won't tell them that. Oh, well, I guess they'll hear that now. So cat's out of the bag.
All right, Coach, this has been amazing. This has been great. Yeah. You're a tremendous guest. We appreciate you coming on, continue to do the things that you're doing with LVS, with the Nolan Catholic Lady Vikings soccer program there. Big fan of what you're doing, what you're about. We look forward to having you back in a future episode as a reoccurring guest. And we can dive into some more culture talk specifically. But for our listeners, you know, you may have some parents in the DFW area that are maybe new to the area. They want to look into private school or just our general, you know, whoever may be listening. For our listeners, where can we get more information on Nolan Catholic? Where can we get more information on your program and Coach Jay Fitzgerald?
Right. So you asking me to kind of say, you know, kind of where we can get that through websites and things like that. Yeah.
Wherever they can share. Yes,
LadyVikingSoccer.com is our program, our website, our Instagram, our Twitter, at Nolan Soccer. Those are key for us. We do put tons of footage on there. We market our players. We market our program because we know what we're doing is dynamic. And that's what we want out of our players. We want them to be dynamic on that side. But and then our school is nolancatholic.org. And there's no doubt that it is a special place to be, or I wouldn't have been there since 99.
All right. Well, this has been great, Coach. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us on the 50-50 podcast. And we look forward to having you in a future episode. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Coach, this has been tremendous. Once again, we really appreciate you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all the great info. Any final words? I know you just shared a good bit, but any final words that you have maybe for our listeners?
Yeah. So Hector, I cannot thank you enough for being able to do this, and not just with me, but with everyone else across the wide variety of things that you're doing for the soccer community. But it all comes down to what you're doing for the kids, because these conversations is all about to give our kids the best experience they can have so they can grow into being better human beings, like we talked about. So it's obvious.
Absolutely.
From your work and your podcast and everything you're doing, from the diverse amount of guests that you have as well, and the different subjects and everything that you bring up, it is about ultimately the experience of the kids. And I cannot thank you enough for that.
Thank you so much, Coach. To get those words from you means a great deal, from someone that's extremely respected in our soccer community, you know, just not only there in your region and DFW or across the state, but nationally. So thank you so much. Love having you on as a guest. And we look forward to having you on in the not too distant future. For our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.